What's up, everyone? This is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters, a basketball podcast brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us on GremlingsMedia.com, Pandora, Facebook, X, Spotify, pretty much any outlet you can get your podcast. You can find Buzzer Beaters. We are here live, and we are live for a reason. It's because we want to hear from you. We want to get your comments, your questions, you know, anything about basketball, because this is a basketball dedicated podcast primarily focused on the NBA, but we also dibble and dabble in the men's NCAA as well as WNBA. So anyway, this is our 28th episode, believe it or not. And we are right now covering essentially what's going on in the NBA in the last, you know, it's been about what, since October 22nd is when the NBA season started. So we're almost a full 2 months into it. And now we're actually into week two of the NBA Cup. So we're going to talk about this week. We're going to talk about coverage of the East and West conferences, what's transpired over the last week since we had this last podcast. And then we're going to dovetail into the NBA Cup. And then we're going to go ahead and talk about some of our contests that we're having between me and Tuan. We intended to cover that last week, but we ran out of time because we intend to do this about an hour, no more than that. Typically, we have been going over lately, but that's because we have a lot of good content for you, right? Yeah. So anyway, Tuan, man, we're here, man. How you been, man? How's everything been, man?
I've been all right, Big Ed. As I was telling you off the air, unfortunately, I had an uncle of mine pass away.
Dude, I'm sorry, bro.
You know, yeah. So, you know, we'll be taking care of that in a couple weeks. But yeah, other than that, I mean, you know, that's obviously a big loss.
This is your mom. Your
no, mom? This is my dad's brother. My dad is one of seven. And so he is in the middle. I lose track of where in the middle he is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know,
the uncle who passes in the middle, or your dad is.
Yeah, he's in the middle. In the middle, in terms of
in the middle.
Right. Okay. He's in the middle and. So out of the seven, there's three remaining, my dad, my aunt, and another uncle that I have all, you know, my uncles are nearby. My aunt's still back in Peru. So just kind of dealing with that a little bit. But, you know, other than that, you know, everything's been good. Work's been good. Life's been moving along, you know. How have you been?
We have our health until I spoke, dude. Anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Dude, I got to tell you, bro. Did I tell you that it sucks getting old, bro? It sucks.
I'm with you, brother.
I've been through it in the last week, man. I mean, you know, nothing like life changing or altering or, you know, anything that's life threatening, but just things that are a nuisance, bro. You know, I pulled a hamstring just doing treadmill, right? Normal walking on a treadmill, like pull my freaking hamstring. And then 2 days later, I get out of bed. And I think I had this happen on a previous podcast when we were talking. I just got out of bed and pulled out my freaking back again. And I just had tightened up. And I couldn't walk. And, dude, it took me like – and I had a golf tournament the following Saturday. This happened to me like on a Monday. And then I had a golf tournament on a Saturday. So I went to go to the acupuncturist. I went to the chiropractor just to get myself all loosened up to get ready to go, man. So I was ready to go. And then lo and behold, what happens to me, bro? I get freaking gout. Have you ever had gout, dude? You know what gout
is,
bro?
No, brother. I have never had gout, but I heard it is insanely painful.
Dude, let me tell you. I've had gout. The very first time it ever happened to me, I was on a golf course, and I swear I thought I got bit by some freaking spider. I was like walking, because all of a sudden out of nowhere, my toes started hurting like big time, dude. And then I felt like I was limping. And then the guy starts talking to me. They're like playing with me. They're like, "What's wrong with you, man?" I go, "I think I got bit by a spider. Something's wrong with me, man." So I went home and, dude, and my toe was huge and it was all red. I'm like, I'm looking for bite marks. I was telling my wife, I go, "Look at my freaking foot, man. What's wrong? Do I have bites? Do I have black widow bite? What is going on?" Anyway, lo and behold, I find out later I had gout, and I've been dealing with gout on and off for about a good part of 20 years or so. It's something that happens to people that have like a low tolerance for uric acid buildup in their body. And everybody's physiology is different, you know, thankfully, right? Not everything that's good for one person is good for another person. And not everything that's bad for one person is bad for the other, right? But for me, man, over the years of this 20 to 25 year period, I've learned that there are certain triggers that I have. And I avoided one of them big time was beer. I don't drink beer much anymore because it was a big trigger of gout. And then also certain seafoods can also trigger it. Then also lemon juice, like real concentrated lemon juice was one of my triggers. And I drink lemon juice all the time, but not concentrated. I drink a lot of lemon juice. But I don't know what the hell happened, bro. It happened to me on Thursday. I started feeling like my toes kind of hurting. And then on Friday, it's like, oh my God, something's going on. And then Saturday, dude, it like hit me like a brick, dude. I mean, Tuan, if you saw me walking right now, bro, you would be tripping, dude. I'm like the walking dead dragging my foot.
You're like the Hobbit. You're walking like the Hobbit.
Dude, and I don't have a freaking cane in the house. My mom, my wife put it somewhere. I don't know where she put the cane. I have cane in case this happens. So I pulled out my eight iron and my freaking golf set. And I'm cane with an eight iron, dude. And I'm like dragging my foot, dude. It's a painful mofo, bro. And I got to tell you, the other thing is that I played golf with a guy. And I haven't played with him for a few years, man. But this guy used to play in the NHL. He retired as a defensive guy. And he played for the New York Rangers, Islanders for like 10 years total in the NHL. And, dude, this is a big dude, right? And golfers are really hockey players are really good golfers. For whatever reason, their swings are very similar, right? But anyway, I saw this guy like, you know, maybe like 6-7 years ago, last time I played golf with him. And I saw him at the one of these rounds that we're all getting ready to get playing. I saw this guy limping around, man. And I'm like, dude, did you just come out of retirement to go play hockey again? He's like, nah, bro. He's like, dude, I got gout, and I just got it. I've never had gout in my life, and dude, this thing hurts like a mother. He's like, I've broken noses, I've broken, you know, I've torn my ACLs, the MCLs, and broken my leg, and all this. Dude, I haven't had anything painful like this in my life, dude. This is the worst, dude. It's that painful, dude. For those of you who are listening out there and can identify with what I'm dealing with, you probably know what I'm talking about. But to describe it to somebody who's never had it, it's hard to describe it, bro.
Does it hurt when you're not even moving?
It depends, dude. When you first get the first onsets of it, it can create a big problem. Like when I first thought I got bit by a freaking spider on my toe, dude, the weight of the sheet of the bed would be so unbearable. I couldn't deal with it, bro. It was that bad.
Crazy.
Right? Dude, it hurts. And then like right now, like when, you know, I'm sitting down right now, it doesn't bother me. But as soon as I try and take a step and move, dude, it's like a sharp pain. I can't explain how it feels like. But the best way I can describe it to somebody who's never experienced it is just imagine how if you got bit by a rattlesnake, right? And you got bit and you never treated it. How do you think that would feel? It's kind of like that.
Yeah, okay. Can you take like Motrin or something?
So you know, one of the treatments that they tell you is that you know, the doctors will tell you like if this ever happens, you know, Aleve, you know what Aleve, the back pain medicine, right? Yeah. It's very, very strong, bro. And they said take about 4 to 5 of those things, you know, because that's the only thing that's gonna alleviate the pain.
Yeah,
and you know, and over the years, I don't want to do that much because that's hard on your liver to take all those pills, man. So I take like 2 to 3, and it tends to kind of, you know, soften up the pain a little bit, but it's still there. It's like a dull pain once you get it, but dude, it's a painful mofo experience.
And how long does it usually last?
It depends, man. I've had instances where it lasts, you know, 6 weeks. There was one time, dude, I gotta tell you, this one time it happened to me, bro. It's usually a unilateral thing. It's not a symmetrical thing. It's an asymmetrical thing. Meaning, like, it only happens on one joint on one side, whereas normal arthritis, it happens on both sides, symmetrical, right? Whereas this is called metabolic arthritis. So it's usually only on one side. But there was one time I had it, dude. It happened on one foot on multiple joints, and then it started going to the next foot on multiple joints. Dude, I could not walk, dude. It was brutal. I had to go to the emergency to get some pills. Dude, something's causing this, because I'm in general, dude, I'm pretty healthy, dude. I just got blood tests, I'm really healthy, this and that, but dude, there's something that I can't, there's certain things about foods that I can't eat, and I'm still trying to figure out what it is that's causing the problem for me, man. So when you ask me for lunch on Friday, it really depends on how I'm gonna do this week, man.
I got you, brother.
I'm vegetarian right now, bro. Okay.
All right, damn. Well,
so it won't last too long, man. Yeah. Me too, man. Because I got to fly out to Texas next Tuesday because we're driving down to meet my daughter till we can fly to Texas for Thanksgiving, right? So we're gonna go meet my brother-in-law. I don't want to deal with this when I'm traveling because it's brutal, man. So, but anyway, enough of that, man. But thanks for asking, man. It's quite the story, man. It's a process, but you know, it's kind of what we deal with when we get old. We get certain ailments that happen, and then we just have to deal with it as we go, man. So but anyway. As we discuss, we're going to talk about the coverage of the NBA. We're going to go ahead and focus first on the Eastern Conference, man. So, you know, since the last time that we met, we had, you know, what I'm going to go ahead and talk about are some of the biggest games of the week, right? And some of the biggest, you know, games that we saw and some of the biggest developments we saw. So I'm going to go ahead and focus first on the Cavs, right? I mean, they're the number one seeded team in the East, right? And you have to focus on the number one seeded team first. Yep. So the Cavs in last week beat the Bulls and the Hornets before coming to Boston.
Right? Yes, Boston big game, big game.
That was a good game, man. Probably one of the better NBA Cup games that we have seen. But, you know, the Cavs came in undefeated. They were 15-0. And they're a net rating right now. They're the number one net rated team. They're at 12.01. And they're up one spot since last week, right? But they came in and they faced the Celtics for a net rating of 10.37 and number three. So that was like a titanic clash right there, right?
Yep.
The Celtics were also up one from last week because they were number four. Now they're moving up to number three. But in the last week, the Celtics beat Toronto and before hosting Cleveland. And I got to tell you, man, Boston went out like they were on a mission, man.
Yes, they were.
You know, they went out on a dominant 20-point lead, man. And I thought, like, oh man, you know, this is a facade now. This Cleveland Cavaliers are, you know, the Boston Celtics just came and showed up and said, you know, we are the champs. We are the team to beat. Forget your 15-0 starting, you know, start, and we're going to go ahead and check you, right? Then all of a sudden, the Cavs came back, right? And they came back on a serious step. It happened like in the third quarter, the middle of the third quarter, they started like sneaking back up, man. And
yes, you know, they did.
And I got to tell you, both teams were pretty fully healthy. And the only guys that were missing were pretty much Isaac Okoro for the Cavs and then, of course, Kristaps Porzingis, who has been missed. He hasn't played his first game yet. But overall, both teams are pretty healthy, man. So what are some of the observations you took from that game, man?
So Evan Mobley continues to impress me.
Oh, hell yeah.
That dude looks unstoppable at times. I can't believe so that was the thing. I'm not going to harp on him. I think I harped on him last week, but I think
– That's all right, man. Hey, he's worth harping again. Do it, man.
Darius, don't call me Winston Garland.
His dad, Winston.
That's how old I am. For those who don't know, look it up. Winston Garland is Darius Garland's dad. Anyway he had a really bad night. He had a really,
really bad. He was 3-21, dude. That's how bad it was.
Exactly. He was really bad. And that's what impressed me the most, that Cleveland was kind of off and yet they kept it so close.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm Boston, I'm a little worried about that because, you know, if Garland played even half as good as he normally does. They probably win by 8 to 10 points, you know, in that game. So Cleveland's no joke. You know, I was thinking the same thing. You know, I was watching, and right out of halftime, I think within the first couple of minutes, right out of halftime, Boston was up like 21, 22 points, something like that. And I'm like, oh, man. And I'm like, all right, so it's kind of in the background. I'm kind of half paying attention to it. Next thing I look, they're under 10. Next thing I look, you know, they get it down to 4. You know, and I'm like, oh, damn, Cleveland's making a game out of this. And, you know, kind of in reference to the cup here, you know, point differential makes a big difference. So you do want to make sure even if you lose – you lose with as minimal points as possible. And so, you know, Cleveland managed to do that. But I was pretty impressed, man. I mean, I know that you and I made our predictions at the beginning of the year. I think we both predicted Boston would be in the finals. And I think I predicted the Thunder. I don't know if you did as well.
I think we both did, yes.
Yeah, I think Cleveland's going to potentially upset that, man, because they're no joke. Yeah,
well, injuries, man, because we know once an injury happens to a major guy like a Donovan Mitchell, right?
Correct.
Then all bets are off, man. Because Donovan Mitchell had a freaking great game, dude.
He did.
He had 35 points, man, 3 assists, and 8 rebounds. So he had quite the game, man. But the
interesting part is he kind of had the flex. The way I read his play in the game is he kind of turned it on when he needed to. It wasn't something that he was playing like, I got to keep us, you know?
Yeah.
There was other guys picking up the difference there. And so to me, you know, I think that as long, I think Spider Mitchell, I mean, obviously injuries can affect any team. But Cleveland's relatively young. And, you know, outside of Jared Allen, who has a little bit of history getting injured, outside of him, mostly everyone else is fairly young. I think injuries should not impact their season based on age. You know, based on circumstance, obviously something could happen. You know, we'll get to the West in a minute, but like Durant, right? Durant, I expect him to get hurt here and there. He's been hurt. Look what's happened to them. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I don't expect that to impact Cleveland as much as, you know, as much as it would Boston. Like Kristaps Porzingis, he has a long history of being hurt. It wouldn't surprise me if he comes back and then is out again and is on again and is off again, you know, and potentially not even available for some playoff games. I kind of see that kind of at least in the near future.
Well, the, you know, Boston has definitely figured out how to play without Porzingis because it's been quite some time that they've played with him, right? But just imagine when he comes back, the addition that he, it's like a free agent signing, man.
It is
a difference maker, right? And this is going to make that team even deeper and better, man. So
it is. The problem, though, I see right now is that they're relying heavily on Horford, and Horford's pretty old.
He's old, man.
You
know, yeah.
Yeah. Ideally, you want Horford playing less minutes than he's even playing now, and, you know, kind of save him for the postseason. And so that may hurt them in the long run.
But they have that one kid out of Portugal, man.
Yes.
Inés Queta. He's been playing well too, man. So, and he's a younger guy. He's played for the Kings, man. I'm surprised the Kings let that guy go. They also have the tall guy. What's his name? I forgot his name. Anyway,
Cornet. Sorry, Cornet.
Yeah, Luke Cornet. So they have him too. He didn't play that much, but Inés Queta is playing more. So that kind of alleviates Al Horford, old man,
a little bit. There.
Play a lot of minutes, but two guys I want to point out to you, bro, in the Cleveland Cavaliers, man, two guys that are playing a lot and are making a difference for the Cavs are two former Golden State Warriors, man. Ty Jerome, former Warrior. George Niang, another former, he was a Santa Cruz, Warrior, but he still was part of the Warriors organization.
Yeah, Niang had a good game. Niang had a good game against
both those guys are playing well, man. So I got to give it to him. And then this other guy, Craig Porter, you know, he got put in the pretty solid minutes, and you know he's not somebody that usually plays a lot, but I think he got himself back in the rotation here because he played really well, man. And he normally doesn't play that many minutes usually, but he played well. So, that was a great treat to watch, man. It was probably the most anticipated matchup of the season, and it happened to be one of the NBA Cup games. So, so that was a great matchup.
Kenny Atkinson's got him playing really well. He's got him playing a lot similar to the Warriors style. With the difference, and I'm a little jealous, which is they have insane amount of height, which is something the Warriors really never had.
Yeah, I know. And they're shooting lights out, man.
Yeah, though they are shooting light. I mean, at some point, that's got to average out, I would think. Kenny Atkinson's really got them playing well.
And the thing is, they can make their free throws, bro.
We'll talk about that later, bro.
Yes. Yeah, yes. But anyway. Yeah. All right, man, let's go on to the next team in the standings here. We got the Orlando Magic. All right?
Yes.
They have definitely been creeping up the standings. They are net rating at 5.13. They're the number eight rated team in the NBA. In the past week, they have beat the hapless Sixers and the Suns since our last podcast. I got to tell you, man, since Banchero's injury, man, this guy Franz Wagner is balling, bro. And we brought that up last week, man, but he is balling, dude. He is balling. He was picked right after Kuminga. Right? Yes. Right? But anyway, he got signed. You know, we talked about that. He got signed to a long-term, after his rookie contract. So he's one of these guys that got a deal, and Kuminga doesn't have it. But, you know, unfortunately, it looks like we didn't make the right choice. But I still think Kuminga is going to show out soon. But we'll get to that later. But anyway, I got to tell you, Jalen Suggs has been playing a lot better since, Banchero. I think that, certain injuries, when it happens, it's a blessing in disguise for teams.
Man. It can be.
And in this case, I think Banchero is probably a blessing in disguise, being hurt, right? The emergence, now they're going to get to see how this Tristan Da Silva plays, right? The
Correct.
Guy out of Colorado. And he's been inserted in the starting lineup. And, he's one of the guys that, when we were doing the coverage, we kind of thought maybe – I don't know if that was the right guy to pick, right?
Yeah, we were kind of on the fence,
We were kind of on the fence on that. And then one of the guys, put a comment on our podcast, after the fact, said that, Tristan Da Silva is the right guy. Yeah, turns out he probably is the right guy.
He's looking like it,
Well, because of Banchero getting hurt, right? They needed somebody to fill that slot, right? Then they always have this off-injured Jonathan Isaac guy. And he's, a really good player, man. But he had these, really bad knee injury, man. It was pretty horrible what he had a few years ago. And he took him 2 years to recover from it, but he's starting to ramp up his minutes now. He's getting 20 to 25 minutes a night, whereas before he was always a 15 to 16 minute a night thing because of they were trying to ramp him up slowly because of he had these bad knee issues, man. But this team looks like they're on the cusp, man. They're breaking through, man. I mean, we called it that they're probably going to be the Thunder of last your
correct enemies, and, right? And the thing that they're mimicking the Thunder, at least right now, is that the GM is pulling some pretty good talent, you know, like the players that they're drafting, keeping,
right,
you know, and early in the year, you know, there was a lot of rumors about, you know, Klay Thompson coming to this team, them needing, you know, kind of a shooter. And, you know, I think given the circumstances, I think that the right move was not to get Klay. I think they're better off without Klay and kind of working their young talent and getting them to play, you know, kind of the levels that, and like you said, this injury, I think, is a blessing in disguise. And Banchero hopefully will be back. I think he was, what, 6 to 8 weeks was his initial.
Yeah, it's in that range. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's in that range.
And he's been out, what, 2 to 3 weeks already? So, you know, so you know, you're looking, you know, right around the All-Star break, him coming back, then kind of getting in a rhythm and then potentially doing some damage, especially since Philadelphia is so willing to give up a playoff spot there. You know,
they give that. Exactly, man. So, all right, man. So we covered the Magic. So let's go on to the Knicks, man. All right, the Knicks. They are now the number 7th ranked net rated team in the NBA. They have a 5.89 net rating. Since our last podcast, they've won 3 games in a row. They beat the Nets twice. They also beat the Wizards. All right, these are teams that they should be beating, right?
Correct.
Anunoby has been fitting better. Mikal Bridges has been spotty. He's been up and down a little bit. Brunson seems to be coming out of his shell a little bit, kind of figuring out how to work with Karl-Anthony Towns, because he did score 37 points against the Nets, and then he also scored 26 against the Wizards. So he was the leading scorer in both, because primarily it was always Towns before. But, you know, let's see how they do against some of these better teams up and coming, because they're going to play Phoenix and Denver. And Denver right now is without Jokic, but we'll get that when we talk about the West.
Yeah,
and they also play the Mavs. So the next 3 games, they're going to play some really good teams here. Phoenix, Denver, and then the Mavs. We're going to see what the Knicks are all about, man. What do you think about the Knicks?
Well, you know, I don't know if you saw, but there's been some rumblings about the Knicks defense and Karl-Anthony Towns' lack thereof. So Towns is playing fantastic on the offensive end. There's no denying that. But on the defensive end, so I'm kind of gonna watch that with a close eye, because you know he doesn't mess around with defense, and no, I don't know how he's going to treat one of navigate his star players.
That. Yeah, I was gonna navigate that.
Yeah, but the team, I mean, obviously last year was a very tough defensive minded team. I think they want to continue to do that. My guess would be that their thought process was keep the defense at the level that we've consistently been at and then improve the offense. Well, Towns does that, but he does cost them on the defensive end, which is kind of similar, not the same type of impact, but you know, it was interesting because Karl-Anthony Towns left Minnesota, and Minnesota was one of the highest ranked defensive teams in the West
before,
but they did it with Towns. So, you know,
and DiVincenzo, not DiVincenzo, sorry. They had Monty Morris who left, then Kyle Anderson who left.
But I mean, Towns was a starter, so he contributed to that defensive mindset.
Correct.
Now, again, they had Rudy Gobert who kind of played the low post, and maybe Towns was more of a perimeter, you know, type of defender, or you know, kind of more of a help defense sort of scenario. And I haven't studied the Knicks enough. I don't know if they'd like to do more man to man or it's more help defense. But in any case, I think that's something worth noting. I think we're gonna keep an eye on that and see what Towns' impact on the defensive end is, because it's important for them if they're going to get far. You know, now they got to contest against Boston, who's an excellent defensive team. They got to contest against Cleveland, who's a very good defensive team. You know, not to mention their offense. They're good on the offensive end. So, you know, New York's going to have to be, I think, a little bit of a better defensive team as we move forward.
Yeah, they have to, man, because that's kind of what their bread and butter has been, especially for Tom Thibodeau coach team, man. That defense has to definitely get better. And, you know, their net rating was roughly about the same last week, so they haven't really deviated too much. So at least, you know, I think they're just going through a normal adjustment period anytime
you get new guys. Yeah, I agree.
And I think that they're going to get better and better as you go. They have way too many junkyard dogs in this team to be not as good as they've been showing, right? But, you know, they're the number 4 seed, right?
So it isn't like they've slipped or anything. I'm talking more big picture, win a championship.
Yeah, like being the number 2 seed like they were last year, right?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
I hear you. So, all right, man. So let's go to the Knicks. The Nets, not the Knicks, the Hawks. So the Hawks, man, they're the 5th seeded team in the East, all right? Yep. Sure. They are, but what's interesting is that their net rating is -3.23, man. They are number 20 in the NBA. That just shows you the discrepancy between the East and the West. A number five seeded team in the East is 7-8. They're below 500.
Correct.
Right? If you look at the West, the first under 500 team is number 11 Spurs. All right.
Correct. The 12 seed Spurs.
They're on now the 12 seed. Okay. Are they really? Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. But so it's a huge discrepancy, right? But in the last week, they've won the three of the last four. They've beaten the Celtics, okay, which is an impressive win. They beat the Kings and they beat the Wizards. Now, the Kings are kind of like under.
And they beat the Knicks a little before that.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, they're, I mean, okay, we talked at length before the season started that we probably both thought that they should have kept DeJounte Murray
and let go of Trae Young,
right? Yep. Okay, Trae Young is still here, but I think the guy who's made a serious big difference on that team is Dyson Daniels, man.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys who came from the New Orleans Pelicans in that trade for DeJounte Murray, all right? He has been inserted into the starting lineup, and the guy's been playing great, man. He's a defensive-minded kind of guard. He's kind of a combo guard. He can play point guard sometimes. He can play shooting guard, although his shot isn't really the best, although it's getting better. But he's always hung his hat on defense. That's why he was like a lottery pick guy, right? He just wasn't really fitting well with the New Orleans Pelicans. He really didn't play that much. But he seems to be a good find for these guys. And then you talked about some of the guys, you know, one of the guys that they signed, you know, last podcast, we talked about some of these guys that re-signed, you know, from the rookie contracts. And the number 20 pick, Jalen Johnson, was re-signed. And he seems to be one of the gems of this draft. Of that draft class, and he's been playing well too for the Hawks. So, and then you got your boy Reese Arshay. Reese Arshay seems to be holding his own too, right? I mean, he's the number one pick, but he seems to be a team. I just think that this team is, I think, better than people think. Although they're not a team that would compete in the West very well, but in the East where it's not so strong, especially with the Bucks and the Sixers kind of flailing. I mean, the Hawks are sliding right up the ranks, man. So what do you think, man? What do you think? The Hawks
I agree with you. Overall, in terms of the league, you know, the Hawks are a sub-500 team, but they've got some youth players. They got some young players that you identified. Reese Arshay is kind of starting to come into his own. I've been watching him. Obviously, he's on Team Tuan here for the rookies, and so I've been paying a little more attention to him. I think they could – if they can increase their defense, you know, like Daniels is helping them do. I mean, obviously, I think the ticket to any team getting better is it starts with defense, right? They got to start getting better on the defensive end.
For sure.
And you know, like, you got to be exceptional like Indiana was last year on the offensive end to just have that carry you, you know, for longer. So I think if they can improve on the defensive end, they'll continue to stay relatively where they're at, if not a little bit lower in the rankings. But right now I gotta say, given the strength of the East, they're gonna
be a shot, man. I mean, they're going up the ranks, man. The Atlanta Hawks, man. They're playing our Warriors tonight, right?
Yes, so that's they are playing the Warriors tonight. So we'll get a firsthand look.
We're in the Warriors proudly, baby, right here, right?
There you go.
But anyway, we see a few folks watching us right now. Hey, we're here live because we want to hear from you, right? If you have any questions or inputs, please feel free to go ahead and ask a question or give us any ideas for content that you'd like to see for the next show. Anyway, all right, so we talked about the Hawks, man. All right, so anything else on the Hawks before we move on to the next
show? No, I think that was, you know, kind of keep an eye on them and see how they do in terms of the standings as we go week to week. But
All right. So the next team is the number six seeded Miami Heat. They have a net rating of 0.65. They are number 13th ranked team in the NBA. Honestly, they're a little up and down, man, right now. They have been kind of, you know, a shadow of themselves in the previous years. But, you know, Jimmy Butler hasn't been playing. He just came back, and they played without him until he played against the Sixers. And of course, they beat the Sixers. But they've been beating teams that they should, right? But they're losing to the better teams. They're losing to the teams like the Knicks, the Kings, the Suns, the Nuggets. I mean, you know, that's usually a barometer, right, of how good a team is, how they play against some of the better teams. And not that the Knicks, Kings, Suns, and Nuggets are like all, you know, the best of the NBA, but they're better teams, right?
They're on the better half, correct?
Yeah, and they're all playoff teams, right? So, but I got to tell you, Adebayo has been playing freaking awesome. Adebayo is a very good player, man.
Yes, I think he gained a lot from the Olympic experience.
Oh, for sure. A lot of these players did, man.
Yeah.
A lot of these players gained from the Olympics experience, for sure. And he's definitely one of them. But I got to tell you, a guy that's been struggling on that team, bro, Terry Rozier, Scary Terry. He's no longer scary, bro. His shot has just left him, dude. He has no shot right now. And you can see his confidence is kind of just draining right now, man. It's draining him. But he's still in the starting lineup because he can't light up at any time, right? So, Eric Spoelstra's got a lot of patience with him because, he does have the capability of exploding at any moment, but he just hasn't been there yet, man. Tyler Herro is the guy who's been carrying this team offensively along with Bam Adebayo until Jimmy Butler comes back. But I got to tell you, these guys are a gritty bunch, man. They play defense hard, and, losing a Caleb Martin also hurt them too, right? They had him last year. So, I don't know. They scream as somebody, a team that needs to make a move, man, in order to get to that next level. Because right now, the way their team is comprised, they're still a gritty bunch that plays really good defense, but they're lacking something. I think it might be the Terry Rozier effect that he's just not shooting as well as he should be. And they have Tyler Herro, Duncan Robinson, and then, Scary Terry supposed to be these shooting guys, but they're not really shooting. Then Jaime Jaquez, he has kind of not played as much either. I don't know why. He doesn't seem to be making as much of an impact as he was last year. But something, they're missing something, and I don't know what it is yet, man. But
I think some of that is Jimmy Butler. He's been the kind of heart and soul. He's the fight within the Miami Heat. Obviously, I believe he's up for a contract renewal. There's been some speculation that they're going to trade him. If you remember when he was in Minnesota. And they were talking about trading him. He took it up a level. He was kind of angry. He was playing angry. I don't see that same result here, which makes me ask the question, is he just tired? Is he just getting a little older and just, he's kind of whatever, kind of mentality. But I think some of that has to do with, a lot of times when the Heat were beating teams they weren't supposed to or weren't favored by, Jimmy Butler was carrying that kind of the spirit there. And I don't know if they have anybody, and including Bam Adebayo, that kind of fills that role,
outside.
And so I think that has a big part here. We'll see what happens with Butler. There's been a lot of talk that he might be gone before the trade deadline this year.
Yeah.
And Pat Riley doesn't suffer anybody. If he's done with you, he's going to tell you to your face. He don't care. And so I don't know what's the inner workings of what's happening there, but I think that has a lot to do with them kind of being average psyche right now. Their psyche seems just average, They still got a lot of talent there, but their psyche seems average. So they're playing more to the middle level. I think Miami Heat's always been that team that plays better than what they are. They've always played better than what they are. And I think right now they're just playing to what they are.
Okay. Interesting. Hey, speaking of Pat Riley, did you hear that he's getting a freaking statue in front of the Lakers stadium here soon, man?
First things first, about time, right?
For sure.
Like that's one, but two, it's interesting that they're going to do it while he's still in the league.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I mean, that is classy that they're doing it, man. So
absolutely classy. I hope that they're not doing it because there's something up with his health that we're not hearing about. Interesting that they would do that now, but. Hopefully he's fine.
I hear you.
And it's all good.
It makes you wonder when the timing, when these things happen.
Yeah, like why now? Why not 10 years ago? Or you know what I mean? Or when he retires, right? Like kind of deal. Like why today? So that part just draws a little bit of interest to me.
No, I hear you, man. Yeah. So all right, man. Before we go to the West, man, are there any other teams in the East that you want to highlight?
No, I picked on the poor Sixers already. I mean, Washington.
Well, dude, Washington. Since you brought up the Sixers, man, all right?
Yes.
Did you hear that Tyrese Maxey called out Joel Embiid, man?
Yes. Yeah, there's problems there, Eddie. Dude. There's problems there.
Supposedly they're buddies. Supposedly they're buddies.
Yeah, but like I said, oh, Jesus Christ. Tyrese Maxey, he's calling Embiid out. He's calling Embiid out because, we talked about this last week. He's walking around with this face like, the world owes him something, or like he's just hurt, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, dude, you got to cut that out. You know, if I'm Paul George, I'm thinking, what the hell did I step into? You know, like, damn, you know, I should have went somewhere else. But until Embiid kind of gets his mindset right, and until he kind of, you know, how would I put this? It's like he's holding a grudge. I don't know if he's holding a grudge against the media. I think he just didn't like the fact that he was getting.
Yeah, he's probably just because he's getting booed by the fans because, you know, he hasn't played, and he's probably just getting pissed off that for all the stuff that I've done for you guys, why are you guys booing me? That kind of thing. And he's one of these sensitive types. You can just
I hear you, but you know, if we rewind a couple of years back, you know, he was picking on Ben Simmons for being sensitive.
Yeah,
if you remember. So to me, I'm like, hey, bro, look in the mirror, and you know what you've done. You haven't won a championship out there. What have you done? You know, like, what do you expect exactly? You know, you are the most talented player on that team. You are, when you're playing well, an MVP candidate. You are a very, very, very good player. But you haven't done anything. You know, getting to the playoffs. You know, so what? You know, and so you know, and this is coming from obviously the benefit of having an organization that has won many championships. But I'm sure you look at Boston, you look at the Lakers, you look at the Bulls, you look at the Spurs, you look at even the Heat. Like, they're going to go, what has Embiid done? He hasn't done anything.
Like,
get us to the promised land and win us a championship, and then no one will sweat you for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. I hear you. But, you know, this team is built to win now. And
they are.
And this team is just – I mean, they are the number 28th ranked net rated team in the NBA right now, bro. All right. And a big part of the reason why this is happening is because their big three, Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, have yet to play one game with each other.
Yeah.
That hasn't yet to happen, man. Yep. And that needs to happen quick, soon. I mean, we can't help it. Tyrese Maxey got hurt, right? But Joel Embiid, I don't know what they're doing managing his time. I don't know, man. They got to stop doing that. Paul George is back from his injury. He had, a real injury, right?
But Eddie, they're 2-11, though, Eddie.
Dude, it's brutal.
11.
Brutal, brutal. But I got to tell you, the one bright spot is Jared McCain. Okay, the guy at Duke. He's been playing freaking lights out. He's probably one of their main bright spots on that team. The guy has been the leading scorer in the last three games. He scored 34, 29, and 20, all right? He has been playing very well. But if you can imagine if they get this full team going, they have Maxey at the point. They'll probably have a Jared McCain at the shooting guard. They have a Paul George, you know, playing a small forward. Then you have Caleb Martin, you know, the guy from the Heat that we're talking about the Heat are missing. And then you have Joel Embiid. I mean, that's a pretty formidable starting line.
No, it is, but it goes to show you what happens when a team can't get on the same page,
dude.
You know, or when your star player is moping around. I mean, look, this is probably apples and oranges, but – you know, obviously, you know, we talk NBA, but we're Warrior. We lean towards the Warrior, man.
For sure.
Look at the difference between when Klay was moping around last year on the Warriors.
Yeah.
And Klay wasn't even the best player on the team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not like he was Steph moping around. And look at the impact that had. Yeah. And so Embiid, dude, you got to, like, how would I put this? I don't want to say he has to swallow his pride, but he's just got to start over.
Yep.
Everything start fresh. Do your best, dude, and whatever happens, happens. But don't expect people to treat you one way because you've done this, that, or the other, dude. Just fight for a championship. That's all you need to focus on is what gets me to a championship.
Yep.
You know, and I think that if he gets his mind right, it'll be fine. But if he doesn't, I'm telling you right now, Eddie, I wouldn't trade for him. Like, I wouldn't trade
that. Yeah, I don't know, man. That dude's a beast.
How much do you have to give up? Yeah, but when's he going to be available? And then when he is available, is he going to be moping around? Like, that's more than any organization can take in terms of he's going to be expensive as hell. So he's going to eat the salary of three or four average players, you know, that could probably together put better stats than him, you know. And so now I'm just telling you right now, he's got to take a look and just kind of reassess and kind of, you know, be happier where he's at.
Follow his pride and man up, right?
That's what exactly. Saying, exactly. Right? Focus on the championship, bro. Focus on that.
Yeah, right. All right, bro. Anybody else you want to focus on before we go on to the West?
No. I mean, you know, obviously the Bucks have done, they've been a little better. I use that word. But again, the Indiana Pacers continue to, you know, not play very good. No, I don't think, no. No, I think for the East, I mean, we've taken up 40 minutes here on, on the East. So,
all right, man.
No one worth mentioning at this point. But of course, week after week, we'll see how that plays.
All right, man. So let's dovetail right into the West, man. All right. Yes. So we're gonna go ahead and talk about, of course, our Warriors. Can you believe that our Warriors are the number one seeded team in the West right now?
Holy crap. I cannot believe. I believe I had them ranked as 10th for the season. I mean, we can look at that. I think you had them a little more optimistic at around 8th.
Crazy. And I got to say, okay, so they're the number four ranked team in the NBA as far as net rating at 9.44. That's down one from last week, okay? Because they were number three before. But, you know, since our last podcast, they've beaten, of course, the Ja Morant-less Grizzlies. They also played against the Clippers, and that's the only team that has beaten the Warriors twice. The Warriors only have three losses, and two of them are against the Clippers. All right.
Yeah.
The first Clipper game was early in the season, and they couldn't shoot worth a crap, the Warriors. But the same thing happened again, man. For whatever reason, they can't shoot against the Clippers, man.
Were both those games in the new LA Coliseum? They were both there, right? Where Clippers were home?
Yes.
You know, I know that stadium is built a little more vertically. Maybe the sight lines are off a little bit. Maybe.
Who knows, man? But that's amazing, man.
I'll talk about, what's it called? Crypto now, Staples, whatever the Lakers arena used to be called. You know, Steph had a couple of years there where he had rough shooting numbers.
Really bad games.
Yeah, yes. And that's kind of been leveling off now. So maybe the sight lines are different. You know, maybe something's funky. But you know, one thing I will note, you know, it probably goes under the radar, but they really missed Looney on that Clipper game. Like, Looney didn't play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's so they really, because, you know, Zubac is a freaking handful, dude. He's one of those guys that you don't really talk about. But, dude, that dude matters. And so, like he was really owning them kind of on the boards and inside. And Looney, that's our saving grace, you know, what we got to do like that, put Looney on him because Looney's hard to move.
Well, yeah, and Draymond did as good as he can against that. He's a beast of a man. He's a big dude. Dude, can you imagine the freaking Lakers had him, Brandon Ingram, Jordan Clarkson, Josh Hart, and Julius Randle.
Yep, and then GM LeBron came and said, "Yeah, I don't need these guys. I want
that was a good team right there, man. What are they doing?"
Yes, anyway. I believe a handful of those guys were part of the Anthony Davis trade.
Oh my God, but still,
but yes, they had a good
little core.
The GM there,
young guys.
Rob Lowe did a pretty good job of drafting people. And now they're kind of all over. I mean, even Lonzo Ball, had he not been hurt.
He's another one also on that team.
Has proven to be a pretty talented player. You know, obviously he's had a lot of injuries. But
still, think about that team right there, man. That's a pretty good squad.
No, that is a pretty good squad. I agree.
But anyway, but the whole reason why I bring this up is because Zubac has become a beast now, all right?
He is.
He has become a beast of a center. And the Warriors are undersized. Yeah, you're right. The missing Looney hurt him. Draymond Green can only do so much. Trace Jackson Davis, he's still figuring things out, right? So Kyle Anderson can only do so much, right? So yeah, they're a problem, but for whatever reason, man. Okay, let me point something out. I texted you about this, that the Clippers shot 47.1% from 3-point range last game.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Warriors shot 47.5% from the free throw line.
Yeah. No, the free throw thing is a little maddening. So number one, as Warriors fans as we are, the Warriors never get to the free throw line, right? Historically, they have, and this year, I would say that one of the fundamental differences is they're getting to the free throw line on a more regular basis than they have in previous seasons. But dude, that only matters if you make them. Like if they would have shot 70%, they would have won that Clipper game.
Easy.
Yeah, they would have won going away, but you got to make your free throws, man. You got to.
Yeah, yeah. But I got to tell you, though, but just that stat alone, the Clippers could not miss, dude, from 3-point.
No, they could.
And the Warriors shot less than 50% from free throw line, and they only lost by 3 points, man.
Exactly.
That tells me a lot.
Exactly. So, to me, I think Looney would have made a difference. There would have been a couple of less offensive rebounds, a couple of less second opportunities for the Clippers. I think he would have made a difference. But like the first game, I would say the Warriors just got blown out. Like I didn't know what hit them in that game.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, they just got owned. This game, I would say, was more like the Warriors, had they took advantage of their opportunities, they would have won.
They would have won.
They didn't. And sure. So they kind of gave this one away a little more than got beat. The first one, the Clippers just flat out beat them. This one, the Warriors kind of gave it away a little bit, even with the impressive numbers that you're pointing out that the Clippers had, which is 47%+ and 3-point. I mean, any team that shoots that on 3-point line should be
winning. They're going to win, dude.
Margin. They should be winning by a significant margin, and they only won by 3 points.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It would be like the Boston Celtics New York Knicks game, the first game, right, of the season.
Exactly. Yeah. No matter how good the Knicks played that game, they weren't going to win.
Yeah, for sure.
Boston was on fire. Or when the Warriors played Cleveland. Like, they weren't
going to win. Oh, that too. Cleveland just was lights out. Yeah, no, I hear you, man. All right, but before we move off the Warriors, let me ask you, what do you think of Kuminga, man? What do you think of his play?
I think he's finding a role, as a sixth man. I think we talked about kind of contract. I think he's kind of a middle of the road player right now. I'm seeing better signs from him in terms of I see when he gives up the ball. Like, he's not just putting his head down and attacking the rim every single time, which is something right. that he's done in the last couple of seasons. He's clearly figured out that when he shoots the three-pointer, it's got to be in a certain way. His feet got to be down. He's got to be pointing at the rim a certain way. He's not trying to take Steph Curry threes anymore. He understands there's a certain rhythm that he – so I see a little bit of progress, but, you know, damn, Franz Wagner would have looked better. That's all I'm going to say. But again, you know, if they can get him at a reasonable contract, meaning, you know, kind of – $100 million, right around $100 million. I think that, you know, that's good. But I think that, you know, based on what he's doing, they may look to trade him. I don't know if you saw, but the Anthony Melton's out for the season now. He has ACL surgery. Yeah, so they declared him out for the season. So that's obviously going to impact the starting lineup. I know they're talking about a 12-man rotation, which I believe if you put Lindy Waters in the mix – which I don't think he was part of that conversation or was. I don't remember. I didn't count all 12. But I think, you know, he's going to be able to kind of sort of help fill that role. But that's a big hit for the Warriors because Melton was –
He was playing well.
He was playing well, and he fit a lot of needs. You know, he was a long player.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize
that. So, man. I didn't look it up exactly. He didn't exactly tear his ACL, but there's something within his ACL that's going to require surgery. He's got to get fixed. So he's out for the season. So, you know, maybe in the next couple of weeks, I'll look up. I don't even really know what his contract is. I'm going to presume the Warriors signed him for 1 year. I mean, he's someone that I would like to keep around if, you know, you can keep him from a reasonable price. And, you know, and I'm sure he's bummed too, because had he played well, I mean, that would have meant that the next contract he got could have been significantly better than the one he got this year. So, you know, that sucks.
That sucks. He loved D'Anthony Melton, man. We liked him, man. Hopefully, find a way to keep.
Hopefully, he can stick around, you know, after he gets better and everything. But
Exactly, man.
But yeah,
all right. Let's dovetail into the next team, man. All right. Yeah. So the Oklahoma City Thunder. All right?
Yes,
they are the number two rated team in the NBA at a 10.57 net rating. That's down one slot. All right. After losing to the Warriors, in that game. They lost Chet Holmgren for a significant period of time. They now have lost three of their last six games.
Yes.
Right? Which is interesting, right? And, they played against, you know, they beat the Mavericks, and then they played against the Wembanyama-less Spurs last night, and they lost.
And they lost. Okay?
And they lost. And the other thing is that, you know, they played without Wembanyama, but they also played without their head coach, Greg Popovich, who is out indefinitely due to a mild stroke. I don't know if you heard the news, but he has a – and then you have this other guy, Mitch Johnson, who's taken over, and he's done a decent job. And I got to tell you, man, you brought them up last podcast because that's one of the teams you want to bring up. Don't forget about the Spurs, man.
Don't forget about the Spurs.
Don't forget about the Spurs, man. Jesus. Yes. Anyway, but we can talk about it another time. But the Thunder, even though they lost Holmgren, right, and they did lose against the Spurs, right, they're playing again tonight, and we'll see how they do. But even though they lost to the Spurs, they're still a very dangerous team, even without Holmgren, man, because they play defense at an elite level. They have multiple guys who can shoot the 3-point, right? And that's their game, man. They're going to create early offense by playing great D and getting on the break and then just go ahead and either dunk it or shoot an outside shot, man. And this is their game, man. And they're once they get Holmgren back, dude, they're a serious problem, man. They're a very deep team, man. So what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, losing Chet Holmgren has impacted them significantly. It's almost as if they're trying to figure out how to play now. They're playing
Yeah.
like they're playing differently. And you know, I shame on me. I knew Chet Holmgren was going to be an impact, but I didn't think it would be a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander type impact,
Oh yeah.
which is what it's looking like now. Like
For
he's
sure it is.
they're 1 and 1A. I mean, they're everything to that squad,
Well,
and so
even if
you
they
know.
lose, if you lose Shai, him, or Jalen Williams, either one of
Yes, or
those
Jalen
three.
Williams, who, yeah, exactly. And so you know, I think that they're just trying to figure it out. I think they're still okay. I'm not concerned, for lack of a better word. However, that Chet Holmgren, and when we get to the cup, was one of the reasons I picked the Lakers over the Thunder in that
Is because of the Chet
it's
Holmgren
because
injury.
of Chet Holmgren. You know, I
Yeah.
figured they're going to take some time trying to figure that out. You know, and they're
Right.
still waiting for Hartenstein or Hartenstein. Is it Stein or Steen? I don't know.
Stein.
Everybody's
Stein. I
Stein.
think, it might be Steen, actually, the real Y. I think that's the way the Germans really pronounce it. I think.
Yeah. So
Yeah,
they're
it's
waiting for
Steen.
Hartenstein. So he may be able to provide some relief, at least on the defensive end, when he comes back. Because I'm assuming he's due back sooner than Chet Holmgren would be back. So they're gonna have to figure that out. So he's gonna provide some help there in terms of size
Yeah,
and defense.
for sure.
Yeah.
He's due back any day, man. So
Yeah,
he'll
yeah.
be back
So they're
soon.
gonna fit him in. They're probably gonna suffer another little ripple of just trying to
Adjustment period. Yeah, an
a little
adjustment period.
adjustment period. They may lose a couple of more games here and there that they should win, but I think overall they'll be okay. And I still see them as kind of I still feel confident outside of the Warriors now as you know my favorite, you know, coming out of the West.
For sure.
Yeah, so we gotta reevaluate now with how Golden State is doing, but again,
Yeah.
I'm not concerned that they're gonna slip. I'll put it that way with the Thunder.
No, they won't slip too much. If they do
Yeah.
slip, it'd be like one or two slots max, and that's
Yeah,
it.
yeah. Yeah.
All right, man. So let's dovetail into the Lakers, man. All right. The Lakers
Yeah,
have
the
been,
Lakers.
the Lakers, since our last podcast, have won three in a row and are currently on a six-game winning streak. Okay. They beat the
Yes.
Sixers, the Raptors, the Grizzlies, the Spurs, the Pelicans, and Jazz. That's an easy schedule, bro. All
That
right.
is an easy.
So,
I agree.
but that's how you get your freaking confidence going, man. All right. And the team has been playing a lot better, man. I got to tell you, man, J.J. Redick has gotten a real effect on this team. And your boy Dalton Knecht, dude, he showed
Yes.
out last night, dude. Did you
Yes.
see the game? He had
Yes.
37 points, man. He
Yes.
was shooting
Yes.
lights out. Dude, that's
Yes.
awesome, dude. I love seeing that. I love seeing young kids flourish, man. And
I do. And
he's
he's been a saving. I mean, how many years have we been talking about the Lakers need shooting? The
correct.
Lakers need shooting. And this
Yes.
guy's coming in and sure, I can do that. You know?
Dude, it's
And so
amazing. And you
he's
know,
been a godsend for them.
and you know, the last night's game has now catapulted Dalton Knecht to be the second odds on favorite, the second person on odds on favorite to win Rookie of the Year. Okay. Right now it's Jared McCain out of the Sixers being the Rookie of the Year. Wait, I mean, remember we did
Way
the
early.
analytics? Way
Yeah.
early, but we did the analytics on this thing. Jared McCain showed up on the list. Dalton Knecht did not. Okay. And
Did
remember, we
not.
talked
Right.
about some of these things are all based on offense and how well they're doing offensively. The
Yep.
analytics tells you everything, right? But I can see why. You know, he's on a flashy team, right? The Lakers are the
Yeah, I
Lakers,
mean
right?
it's like being a Knick, right? If you do 75% good versus somebody who's like in Utah doing 100% good, the
Correct.
75% good in LA or New York's going to get the pump. Just because they're, you know, the league wants those teams to succeed, so they're going to
Yeah,
promote those players.
for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, this team is clicking, man. I gotta tell you, JJ Redick has had an impact on this team. But I gotta tell you that the guy who seems to be struggling now, and I don't know what they're gonna do, man, is D'Angelo Russell, man.
Yes.
He is struggling on that team, bro. All of a
Yeah.
sudden,
Yeah.
he's a shadow of what he was. And I don't know if it's his new hairstyle. He went all blonde. I don't know if you see that. It looks like he's wearing a cap, but like one of these like net, you know, like he's wearing a net on his head. It's because it's blonde. But
Yeah.
dude, he's got to go back to his old color because
Well, you know, his
that's mush now.
struggle to me has always been he's a isolation point guard. He's a player that likes isolation point guard. And to me, that's always been kind of contradictory. You know, you
Yeah.
want to be obviously as a point guard, you want to be more of a distributor. And I think that he shines when he's got the ball a little longer. And now that everything's going through Anthony Davis and the offense has got more of a flow to it. I think, you know, because when he played for the Warriors, he kind of suffered the same kind of reaction. He just couldn't do anything here
Right.
because he needs the ball in his hands. And I think that I think JJ's kind of pulling it out of his hands. And, you know, to him, he's a player that I think if they can trade him, they will trade him before.
They should. They should. They need another point guard. They need to make they need someone like a Tyus Jones, man. Someone that's, you know, one, or even Monty Morris. Make a deal with the Phoenix Suns and, you know, give them a D'Angelo Russell for one of those guys. One of those guys.
I agree.
I don't know if they're like, you know, their salary caps, you know, their salaries will match, but they'll think they can figure that out, man. I mean,
Even not a traditional point guard, but DiVincenzo would have been somebody that would fit in that.
Oh, game. Dude, that guy would flourish. He would flourish with the Lakers.
No, exactly. Oh, my God.
He's a perfect fit, man. Yeah. But okay. But we got, we can't ignore the fact, dude, LeBron is fighting off Father Time big
time. I'm so amazing, I can't wait for the other shoe to drop, dude. I'm like, when is old man going to get tired?
The dude is freaking ageless, dude. Yeah. The guy has had three straight triple doubles. It got broken, but he had three straight triple doubles, and one of them was a 35-point triple double, man.
Yeah, and one of them, I think he had a minute into the second half.
Dude, that's crazy, dude. This guy's playing out of his mind. Yes, he's playing out of his mind. And maybe, dude. Maybe them drafting Bronny James actually did have this effect on him, dude. Who knows, man? Because but Bronny James, now he's playing in the G League, man. He gets called up every now and then, but he doesn't play.
Well, I think he's only playing home G League games, and then when the G League's away, he goes back to the Lakers. I read somewhere that that kid needs repetitions. You know, we could have a whole show on me. I don't agree with the way. You know, I understand. You know, LeBron leveraging who he is to get his kid.
Yeah.
I understand that. And I don't blame him for it, but that kid needs to play more games, you know?
No, I agree.
And he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it on the NBA court. Not if they want to win.
I agree. Unless they like are so commanding of a lead, they can bring him in during the garbage time. Right. Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we talked about the number three seeded Lakers. Now let's go on to the number four seeded Houston Rockets.
Yes.
All right. This team is 7.55 net rating. That's number five in the NBA.
That's scary.
Up one. Absolutely, dude. They have gone 2-1 since our last podcast with wins over the Clippers by 21 and the Bulls by 36. All right. Then they ended up losing by 1 point to the Bucks on a play that easily could have been that they easily could have won. It was a better pass to Alper and Şengün. I don't know if you saw that play, but the Bucks totally just walked. They just totally whiffed the defensive assignment on that freaking inbounds play. It was wide open. The guy was wide open, and he couldn't catch the ball because of a bad pass. And if they caught it, they would have won, right? So they could have easily beat the Bucks too. But this team, man, they when I saw them come back from a 31-point deficit against the Warriors, dude, and the Warriors were kicking their ass, dude. And then
the Warriors were owning them, and then
they were owning them, and then all of a sudden, they just dug in. I'm like, uh-oh, something's going on here, man, right? Dude, they have a really good starting lineup. Their starting lineup with Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet, Jabari Smith, Dylan Brooks, and then Alperen Şengün. That's a pretty formidable starting lineup.
Yeah.
And then they have a bunch of deep, you know, they have bench players, man. They have Tari Eason, Amen Thompson, your boy Reed Shepard. Been getting a lot more minutes lately, right? Then you got Jock Landale out of St. Mary's, right?
Yep.
Dude, this team is, they're looking like another team that could be considered like last year's Oklahoma City Thunder, man. Right?
Correct.
This is scary, bro. So
they are scary. And when the Warriors played them, Jalen Green played like crap. You know,
yeah, he did.
And had he been playing anywhere near his level, you know, similar to Garland when they played the Celtics, you know, had they been playing at his level, I think they would have beat the Warriors. They're a tough team. They play defensive strong. They have a good offense. I mean, they're someone to look out for. I thought they were still maybe another year away, you know. I thought maybe, but you're right. I think they're having the Thunder effect. You know, where they're starting to show who they are now.
Yep. Dude. All right, man.
So, and let's not forget about the coach there. You know, he had a good run in Boston before that.
He did.
Before that whole mess that he had got in. So he's a solid coach. You know, he knows what he's doing, and he's got the team believing. And he, you know, with the Warriors, they didn't give up. They fought all the way to the end. So I expect Houston to be in the mix here for the rest of the year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Unless something drastic happens. Because Alper and Şengün is baby Jokic, man.
Yeah, that dude is – we saw his contract last year. They're getting a steal.
$185 million, I think it is? Yeah.
It wasn't even a max deal. Like,
I know.
He should be.
I know.
He absolutely should be a max deal.
Yeah, for sure, man. But that dovetails us right into the next team, right? The
Yes.
Denver Nuggets. Okay. We talked about them last week. They won five games in a row when we talked about them last week. And then all of a
They heard
sudden,
us, Eddie. They heard us. They got
they heard,
pissed.
I don't know. We jinxed them, bro, because then three-time MVP All-World center Nikola Jokic has taken some time off due to personal reasons, right? We don't know exactly what the issue is, but Mike Malone just came out recently. And essentially stated that it's a family issue, but don't worry, it's nothing like, that's drastic. It's nothing that's alarming, okay? It's something that we're respecting his wishes. He needs to be with his family, and that's that, right? So we don't know when he's going to be coming back, but we talked about certain players when they're not playing, like a Banchero, where he's not playing for the Orlando Magic, right? With these guys, with the Nuggets, that's a big impact, right?
Oh, that's the whole team. I mean,
Dude, that's a
Jamal
huge. It's
Murray's
a
a big time player too, but that's a huge impact.
Yep. But they lost to the Pelicans and the Grizzlies, okay, without him. But they did win against the Grizzlies yesterday, okay. And Russell Westbrook has been a godsend for this team, man, because he has been playing very well for them, all right. And what's happened is, because of Jokic being out, they inserted Dario Saric into the starting lineup, a former Warrior, Dario Saric, right? And then you got Peyton Watson, who's been inserted in the starting lineup. And then all of a sudden, they seem to be clicking. But the blessing in disguise here, just like Banchero, is you take away Jokic, and their depth was already kind of like
It
a
was
question
shaky.
mark, right?
Yeah,
It
it was
was really
shaky.
shaky. But this is forcing their hand. They're going to have to figure this out, And this could be a blessing in disguise for these guys long term, right? Jamal Murray is going to be asserting himself a lot more. Michael Porter Jr. is asserting himself a lot more. Aaron Gordon has been out for a while too, so he hasn't been playing either. So, right now, remember we talked about this. If they lose one to two of their starters, they're screwed.
They're screwed.
And right now, we're going to see how they recover, man, because this is kind of like the biggest nightmare that they could be facing right now.
One observation that I make here is, I don't think I'm saying anything that even Jokic wouldn't, basketball's always been secondary to Jokic. He loves his home country, he loves horses, he loves his family. I mean, and it sort of reminds me of with Wiggins, because Wiggins is also, you can kind of tell, and obviously Jokic is a much more impactful player than Wiggins in terms of when he's on the court. But whatever this situation is, I hope that it's not one of these where he's in and out of the lineup over a long period of time, similar to the way Wiggins was doing back and forth. Because if he's out for an extended period of time, they're not going anywhere. I mean, they're not.
No,
They're
they're
not
not.
going to. So hopefully, whatever matters he's dealing with from a family perspective is, has an end date, has a resolution, as opposed to it lingering and going back and forth.
Dude, I mean, this like him being out of the lineup could easily slip these guys because they were number four, all right, all the way down to like number 10, easily. Okay, not having Jokic has that
Easily.
much of an impact on that team for sure, right?
Easily. And with some of these teams playing better than anticipated, like Houston, like San Antonio, maybe even drop them outside of the playing game, not because they're that bad, but because the West is that competitive.
Yeah, no, I know, I know, I know, man. All right, man. So this dovetails us to the Phoenix Suns, man. Okay, they are a net rating of negative 1.62. That's number 18. They are down three spots from last week. This team has lost four in a row, dude, and three in a row since our last podcast. They've lost five out of their last six games. They've lost to the Kings, the Thunder, the Wolves, the Magic. All of them are decent teams, man, but they've done this without Durant. We all
Correct.
know what a big contributor Durant is. He's a key to that team.
Yeah,
Then they
absolutely.
just also recently lost Bradley Beal. Okay. Bradley Beal again is out due to a calf strain. All right. He lost
Yep.
him. I think he got hurt in the Kings game. But you also combine that with Yusuf Nurkic. He's been on and off too. So this is another team that we thought that their depth was a little questionable. But
Correct. And
now,
if you remember when we spoke last week, we were like, hey, they're impressive. They're doing good. I want to see them for second or first place when we talked last week.
they were
And
second.
again, in the back of my mind, it's still lingering. Like, how many games are these guys going to play?
Yeah,
And
and
so
you know
this is my concern with this team. If they're healthy, dude, if they were 5 years younger, all of them, dude, I'd give them the championship. Like, they're gonna do it.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. And go ahead, you were gonna say something. I cut you
No,
off.
I was just going to tell you that the Tyus Jones and Monty Morris definitely made an impact on this team. When all those other guys were playing, they made the impact. Now when those guys are not there, you know, they're still good, but they're just not the same team.
So no, they're just lesser. They're not lesser. Tyus Jones isn't feeding Beal, isn't feeding Durant.
No.
Now he's feeding Joe Schmo that's missing an open shot.
Or Mason Plumlee or Ryan Dunn.
Correct.
Or Russell Ighodaro, right? They're also missing Grayson Allen, dude. All right. Grayson Allen got hurt too. The hamstring issues. So these guys are very depleted right now. And this was like one of their worst nightmares, is that they were already pretty slender on their freaking bench. And this could be a blessing in disguise because this happened early enough in the season where some of these other guys start developing, and then once these guys come back, it kind of can round out that whole rotation.
See, for this team and Denver, to me, I don't see it as much as a blessing in disguise. I see it more, can you hold ship until these guys come back?
Yeah.
You know, just hold the line together. And with Jokic, you know, he's relatively young. I think he comes back, settles his family affairs. I think that they can be on track to maybe hover around the fifth, fourth seed in the league. But with Phoenix, even if Durant comes back, I predict he'll be out another time. He's going to play 60 games this year, maybe, if Phoenix is lucky, you know, and I don't think that's enough for them to be an impact, to make an impact. Yeah, that's just,
man.
It's just the way it is.
I hear you, man. So, all right, bro. So before we move on to just coverage of the NBA Cup, man, are there any other teams you want to shout out before we move on?
No. I mean, you obviously mentioned, how pretty much everybody on the top 10 for the West is above 500. Dallas is running to a struggle. They lost to Utah, which was by a horrible wide open play from Jordan Clarkson down low. I mean, that was just absolutely horrible. I don't know what to think about Dallas because I thought they'd be better. And so right now they're not.
Maybe that game against the Warriors kind of deflated them a little bit, man. Who knows?
Maybe. I'm starting to, hope I'm wrong, but I'm starting to wonder if Clay's moping around a little bit.
I don't know, man.
Doncic
has been kind of battling something himself too. So he hasn't been himself either. Like as far as injury, he's not 100% himself. Yeah. So, but Kyrie Irving's a beast, dude.
Kyrie Irving is a beast, but my danger with Kyrie is he's historically shown when he plays on a team that isn't competing, he loses interest. And maybe this is a new Kyrie and a more focused and, going to stick to it Kyrie. But if he starts losing interest, these guys are host.
And
they've got a good young tandem, at the center position.
Gafford and Lively.
I mean, that's a very good combo right there. So there's no reason that they should not be competing here.
Yeah, but PJ Washington was out too. He had just got back, so he was out for a few games. Derek Lively was out for a few games. So they weren't at full strength. So, now they're going through that adjustment period of getting everybody back and then just reintegrating that and then coming together again. So I see these guys still being an issue in the West. I don't see them sink.
Okay. I don't want to disagree with you, but right now they're not on top of their game.
Right on. All right, man. Let's go on to the Emirates NBA Cup, man. So we're just going to briefly cover these. Go ahead and just put that screen up. We can kind of go through all the different groups and how they're doing. Hopefully you can zoom that in a little. If you can't, hopefully you can. If you can't, we'll figure it out. Here we go. There we go. A little bit more. All right. So there we go, man. So we got Group A here, man, right, in the East.
Yep.
Now we both picked the Knicks. Okay, right now the Knicks. We both picked the Knicks. They're sitting right now at the top along with the Orlando Magic. The other teams, they have no shot. The Brooklyn Nets are respectable. I got to tell you, the Brooklyn Nets have been playing a lot better than a lot of people thought. But I think we're looking pretty good here, man. I think the Knicks are looking pretty good. And you can see that the point differential between the Knicks and the Orlando Magic is close enough. It's close enough, right?
It is close enough, but the Knicks are going to have to win a couple of games by 10+.
So, all right, man. So we can go on to Group B. So both you and I picked – well, you picked the Heat, I picked the Pacers. Take that back. You took the Pacers. I took the Heat, right? So right now, we are both not sitting – I mean, you're sitting 0-1 right now, no big deal. The Miami Heat are 1-1. Detroit Pistons, dude, what the? This is your team, man. You said this is one of the guys that you bet me against the Portland Trailblazers. And I got to tell you, man, this team is playing pretty damn good, man.
Well, you know, last year, Cade Cunningham was out for an extended period of time. They didn't kind of have all their pieces. And, you know, Beef Stew, I've always liked him. And, you know, they got some pieces there. They just kind of got to put it together. But they're playing better. I mean, you know, and, you know, in the East, if they can play 500 ball, that's going to get you somewhere in the East. So,
yeah. Yeah, but you know,
they've been playing better than expected. I agree.
So the wild card for both of us is coming out of this group right here. Okay, I have the Bucks. You have the Heat as the wild card. Okay,
yes.
So
we may be wrong. Bucks maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this point differential for Indiana right now. That's not good.
No,
they're going to have to win and win convincingly in a couple of games.
Indiana's hurt, man. I know. So the Heat still got a chance. So I got a shot on this one, man. Yeah. All right, man. So we got to go. We go to Group C. You have the Cavs.
Yes.
And I have the Celtics. All right. Yes. So we're both sitting at 1-1 right now. Atlanta Hawks is surprisingly a 2-0. I mean, wow. And you know, but the point differential, if you look, you know, the point differential is right there with the Cavs. All right.
Correct.
So, this one's far from over. This is actually a pretty competitive one. The top three guys.
And I think Boston's ahead because they won the head-to-head. But had that not been the case, then Cleveland would be the second seed.
Yeah. But the Atlanta Hawks have beaten the Boston Celtics already.
Yes, correct.
So they have essentially like a two-game lead on the Celtics right now. So
they do. Yep.
Yeah. So we shall see, man. But you have the Cavs. I have the Celtics. We shall see in the next couple of weeks what happens here, man. All right, so we go now to the West. So in Group A, you picked the Rockets. And look, is on the top?
The Rockets. The Rockets.
And you know who I picked? The Rockets.
The Rockets
are legit, bro. We are, I think, going to be right on this one for sure, okay? Portland Trailblazers, that's one of the teams I have against the Detroit Pistons, man. We shall see. But Minnesota's been there. They have been disappointing, bro. I mean, they're still going through an adjustment. The Sacramento Kings, dude, they're another team that's been disappointing.
A little disappointing, yeah.
Yeah, dude, but the Clippers, of course, they beat the Warriors. But, you know, if they played against the Warriors like 82 games, they'd probably be in the playoffs, no problem. But they're right now, man, they're not exactly where we thought, but they need Kawhi Leonard, man. We know they need Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, and I don't know when they're getting him back.
We don't know when he's coming back, man.
So that's a mystery to everyone.
Yeah. All right, man, so we go to Group B. So Group B, who did you pick?
I took the Lakers.
And the Lakers are on the top, man. And I took the Thunder, and I have the Thunder at number two. And it's interesting that their point differential is right there. This is going to be – I think it's going to be between those two teams, honestly. You know, you have the Thunder coming out as the wild card. Yes. I have the Suns. So both of our wild cards are coming out of this group in Group B.
Correct. Okay? But if Durant doesn't get back soon, I don't think the Suns are going
to
be in the
Yeah, league. You're right, man. You're right. Yeah. But Utah Jazz are nowhere near to be sniffing anything on the NBA Cup, man. They're not.
My boy Filipowski needs to wake up and start getting them some victories.
You know what? Filipowski's been playing better, man.
I know.
I got to tell you. We're going to get to that next, man. So, all right. So we got right now in the Group C, we both have the Warriors. And who's sitting at the top? The Warriors. I think the Warriors are going to run away with this one, man. The only team, in my opinion, that could even compete with them right now is the Dallas Mavericks, because everybody else in that group, this is considered like probably the most competitive group before the NBA Cup started or before the season started. They thought this one is going to be the hardest. But all these other teams, the Mavericks are kind of going through their challenges right now. We don't know exactly what's going on.
They've all got injuries, right? I mean, John Morant's out from Memphis. Jokic is out from Denver. The Pelicans, you know, they've been kind of they lost McCollum and a couple of different. I mean, that's been the story of this season. There's just been a lot of players,
a lot of injuries, man, big time.
Injuries,
I know,
missing time, and the Warriors have been relatively lucky in that front.
Yeah, dude, totally, man. All right, man. So we're looking pretty good. We'll find out where we go, but you know, let's go on to the next segment, and this is our last segment for the audience. We're going to go ahead and go through our rookie draft. Do me a favor, bro. If you can scroll all the way until you get to game 13 and 14.
Just go ahead.
All right, bro. So here we go. So right now, I had a commanding lead, okay?
Twan's sneaking back.
Dude, you are sneaking back big time, because look at what happened. Okay, so, you know, right now, the up to game 12 is what we have. All of complete, you know, all games have been played by all the players, right? You can see that, right? But yep. In game 13 and 14, I still have a couple players. Well, Sar, for whatever reason, the Wizards schedule, they're not caught up with everybody else. Yes. I don't know why. But
so anyway. That may make a difference there.
Yeah, then you got Jamal Shedd, who hasn't played yet either. But, okay, you can see here, bro, in the last – okay, it's from game 9. Okay, you had a lead there. That was the first time you ever took a lead on me. You had 119.7 points versus 77.6.
My boy Reese Arce with 60
points.
Yeah,
big time, man. All right, then in game 10, I got back to, you know, I started going back to the way I has been, right? And then in game 11, the same thing, 117.5 to 91.1. But then in game 12, holy crap, dude, did you make up a serious point?
Well, look who the Chicago started realizing who they need to play
for. Oh, Bucellis?
My boy, Bucellis is
But, okay. But, dude, look at what happened with Kinect, dude.
Oh, I know. Kinect, he's been going nuts.
Holy crap,
he's
man.
He's been going nuts, yeah.
Dude, so look at that. You have 118.8 points in game 14. I still have two guys to play. But, dude, come on. Sar and Shed are not even going to come close. You're eating into my lead. That is the whole point of this, bro. All right? So all we got a long way to go.
But, I like where we're going now.
Dude, I know because I had a commanding lead for the longest time, man.
I think you were up almost 500 points.
I was W almost along the way. And all of a sudden, Reese Arce's playing well. Kinect's playing well. Filipowski. Greed Shepherd's not playing?
The thing that I'm wondering in Washington – you know, they're 2-11, I believe, and is the coach going to start moving around the starting unit? You know, or maybe. Is he going to stick with the rookies? You know how he has been. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe, man. Right, man. So, hey, man, dude, that's our show, man. You know, covered. Actually, the whole roundup of the NBA that took up most of our time. I honestly think we didn't have enough content, but damn, we actually did, man. So covered. Yeah, we covered the NBA totally, the East and the Western Conference. We talked about the NBA Cup and how we're doing on our challenge on that. And then we also talked about the rookie draft and the conference seedings contests that we have. We're going to continue reviewing this every week because I just like jabbing Swan every now and then when I'm winning and then vice versa, right? So, yeah. But anyway.
Well, I was making a comeback, though. Eddie's not going to put this spreadsheet together anymore. He's like, oh,
I know. No, I will, dude. This is fun. This is fun. I like doing this stuff, man. Yeah, it's the engineering, man. So, man. So, we're at an hour and 17 minutes, man. I see we're a little bit over time again, but our intention is to do this in an hour, but we're going over time. We want to bring the content to you. We're live here every Wednesday, except for next week. Twan, we're going to have to talk about if we can do this recorded next Monday, but we'll figure it out. But, you know, next week is Thanksgiving week. We want to wish all of you and yours happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
You know, family is everything. Take care of your family. Be with your family. Because that's really our legacy. But anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters.
Well, one thing.
Sure, bro. Yeah.
For those who don't know, happy Thanksgiving. But for those who don't know, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year. And the reason it's my favorite holiday of the year is because you get to be with family and you don't got to buy anything. And it isn't that I mind buying things. It's just so overwhelming to figure out who gets what. You know what? But Thanksgiving to me, I love it because you're with family, you watch football, you eat some food.
Yeah,
all good,
brother.
So on that note,
I want to echo Eddie's
sentiments. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and you know whether your family is by blood or by friendship, enjoy time with your family.
Absolutely, man. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Anyway, so this is Eddie Aparicio, Anthony Twan Corral. We are Buzzer Beaters. You can find us at grumblingsmedia.com. You can find us on any podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Pandora, YouTube, X, Facebook, any of those. You can find us there. But anyway, we're here every Wednesday except for next week because of Thanksgiving. And after that, we're going to be here every Wednesday live so we can get your questions and any of your commentary. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Anyway, this is Eddie Aparicio and this is Anthony Twan Corral. And we are signing off.